308. 308. The first Noel. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 308.
Ready for it to be over. I just want to share, we're proud grandparents, and that's okay. Gavin is officially, he's been there 2 months, and they have this big test called battle stations. They keep him up. He's been up since Sunday, and there's a replica of a ship on the base inside. It's incredible. You look it up, it is incredible. And so they teach them all these kind of fighting a fire and doing all this stuff. And he passed. So he officially is a sailor. So in 1 week, he'll graduate. So that's what they're doing. So we're excited for him. You know, the first week was like, I don't like it here. And now he's done. So when you get older, right, the time just zooms by. Let's pray. Father, we are glad that we can be in your house. Thank you for safety. I pray that you give us safety as we go home. I pray that the young people will be challenged, the teens, and anyone that comes for Awana. We pray that their lives will be different because they're here. I pray that in this room, as we sing everything, I hope that we do, whether it's giving, singing, listening, preaching, I pray it will have an effect on how we live, Lord. That's what you want. You said, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's deceived. We don't want to be deceived. Help us, Lord. Give strength to those that don't feel well. May you heal them. May you encourage them. Thank you for this night. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 310, Born to Die. 310.
Thank you.
If you have a prayer list, would you grab that? We'll remind you, of course, ladies, this Monday the 15th is your Christmas party at the Pendles. Lynn is doing better, so keep praying that way. You saw the drastic schedule for Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. You said, I can't make it then. We'll be here. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to try this. So if we don't like it, we won't do it for 7 years. Or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And we remind you of the shoeboxes for the Awana kids. If you'd like to participate, small gifts, put in the boxes. It's a plastic tub in the lobby. There's suggestions that needs to be done by Sunday. Prayer list, if you have not seen, and if you're interested, we don't know what the weather's going to be like. But Vern Ross, the service is on Saturday, 2 o'clock, Oak Hill. Now they call it New Oak Hill, but Oak Hill Cemetery in Plymouth. If you go through town and just keep going south, it's on the right. That's at 2 o'clock at the cemetery. They want to have it outside if possible. If not, there's a building there. We'll be in the building. That's 2 o'clock. If you can't make it, just make sure you pray. The family is requested, of course, that I know that they want the gospel to be preached because they assume there will be lost people there. So pray about that. That's always an honor to be able to tell someone how they can know. Someone was telling me today that when you go to heaven, you die and you go to heaven. I said, well, you know, the Bible that tells us, rather than, I don't want to guess, like I don't want to hope that's true. And they just give you that funny look like you've just stepped on their puppy. But people just want to believe, and I understand. Everybody goes to heaven, but they don't, not according to the Bible. And I wish I could say, yeah, but it's hard. Anyways, make sure people know. So pray for the Ross family as they go through this time. And then under shut-ins, Lynn moved into the nursing home today, Lynn Ross. Would you pray? That's a big adjustment. I don't know that. I am guessing, but I'm probably close that, you know, Vern has been there for everything in her life since she's had this MS, and now he's gone and she's in a nursing home, and so she's got to deal with the loss of him. She's got to deal with this new environment, not home. So really pray about that. Just make that a matter of prayer. Under cancer, Roger Riddle, our neighbor, there is no good news. They are just caring for him. He has moved in with his son, who lives by us, and we went there yesterday to try to see him, and they were in the process of getting him out of the hospital and getting him to his son, so we're going to wait a couple days, and the son lives right over by us. I can see his house from my house, so we're going to try to get over there, but you pray for him. If the Lord would see fit to heal him, he could do that. And then would you add this name before I give you a couple of things under health? The Utley son, John, remember a year or two ago he fell off a ladder. And he's still having a bad time with his hand and his wrist. John Utley, J-O-N, John Utley. If you would put him down, pray for him. They want to do surgery. If they do surgery, it's going to make that hand unusable. So there's a lot of pain. He crushed things. And so just pray. The Lord can also take care of that, can't he? lot of things on there. How's your brother doing, Ron? Don? He has pain? Oh, only because they cut him wide open? Yeah, that's it. You wouldn't think he'd have any pain. Pray for Don. See, why do you think? Would you try? Linda? He went, okay, yeah. Hush, Ron. We know what you... No, keep praying for Ron's. And then, of course, Ron is on there, and your heart's doing good, but your hip still hurts. Don't be afraid to say it when you got... Pray about... Hey, let's pray. Can God answer prayer? Why are we praying if he can? But he doesn't just go, no, I'll take care of that. I think he wants us... All I know is the more I have to pray, the better I get at it. And I don't mean I'm good. I just mean I'm trusting him. So keep praying that way. We contacted, Ron Armstead's doing well. I mean, leave him there. But I see. But April Riffle, we contacted her. She's doing well. Still has a couple of minor issues. But otherwise, they've checked her out. She's doing great. Arlene Myers, that is our aunt. And we went to see her yesterday. The family called and says, is there any way you get up here and see Mom? And she watches our services faithfully. Wonderful Christian lady. And she just has a lot going on. And they do not give her long. She's in her 90s. But if the Lord wants to, he can heal her. But we saw her and she was coherent. We joked, laughed. And she said, you're going to pray with me, aren't you? I said, That's why I came. So we prayed, but would you keep praying about that? And then the Armstead's daughter, she's got, that has just been a real burden on her. Sherry, they have two daughters, and Sherry is struggling with, I'm assuming, degenerative disc is back. So that and kidney stones, and I heard kidney stones are bad. And then Roger's brother, Craig, he desperately needs heart surgery. And they can't get him in. Their wording was, we don't have enough people to do it. So if you'd pray about that. And then Pastor Joel Wallenbeck, that is Mike Gross's brother-in-law, pastoring over there in New Paris, and the Vaughns getting up there in age. I don't know how old. I know they're older than I am, and I'm getting up in age. And they are still going. Still, so you pray for them in Brazil. John Berkey. I did not hear that. Help me. Okay. And did you say the name? Okay. Pray for that family. Is it spelled like John? Sheets? Jerry. Thanks, Ron. You're going to be my interpreter. Can you speak Italian? I'm sorry, go ahead. That's today, and they moved it to today. Dick Arnold. Good. Thank you for bringing that up. Put him on there. He had surgery. We have not. All we heard was that they had postponed the surgery until today. So we have not heard. That was detached retina. So did I say Sherry? Not good. How do you spell the last name? F-E-E, I'm sorry. Feast. A feast from grace? The feast is same? Okay. Got that, Everett? Feast. What? How old is he? That's not old, is it? And what's his last name? From where? From where? Tennessee. Okay, we're going to pray. Huh? Yeah, she's from Tennessee. Pray with me. Father, thank you for joy. And Lord, it's not always easy to have joy when we pray like this, but we're glad that you give us something that is guaranteed and sure. The angels told the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I want that in my life. And I need to know where it is and why I have it. And tonight, so many things, heartache and pain, loss. John mentioned a classmate, that family grieving. Make yourself real to them. If you're not real to them, if they don't know you, I pray that they could hear about you. I pray for Lisa. She talked about her Uncle Bob and the heart issues. Dick Arnold was mentioned tonight, the surgery. I pray that that went well, and we pray for his healing, that it will be easy as can be for him, that, of course, he'll be patient, but just be in that, Lord. We pray for John Utley as he battles this pain and issue with his wrist and hand. We hope, Lord, that you will be good to him and without surgery, give him healing and relief. And Father, I just feel like we should expect that. If we're going to pray and you can do it, and you said ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open unto you. I just feel like if what we want isn't happening, it's because we're just not asking right. So God, I'm just pleading that we will see great answers to prayer. And I pray that for Vern Ross's family, for his daughter Misty, for his son Vern, for his sisters, most of all for Lynn. Be with Lynn, Lord, as she adjusts now to Vern, who's gone to heaven before her. She knows that. But now she has to wait. And also she is adjusting. She's adjusting to life without him and life in a nursing home, and we pray that you would especially encourage her and help her. Lord Jesus, these things are heavy, and we know what you can do, and we plead with you to just bless her in this time. I pray for our neighbor, Roger Riddle, as he battles cancer. And they aren't doing anything to help him battle it, but if you want to, you can. It isn't if you can, it's if you want to. And I would pray for him that way, that he could experience healing. Be with his family, be with Craig, his son, and his wife Mary as they care for him. Lord, there are so many that you've been good to. They've not just healed naturally. You have been extra good to them. And we're asking that on behalf of those who are in pain. They are waiting for recovery. They are hoping for complete healing. They struggle, Lord, with doing what they want. And yet, we know what you can do. And we want to believe you for that. In all these things. And God, I would say, for those that are on this list that aren't saved, when you said, look out on the fields, they're white already to harvest. You didn't say, I'll take care of it. You said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers. There are so many people are on this list and people that we run into daily that need Christ, that need the gospel, that need salvation. Help us to see that. Help us to see what we're supposed to do. Help us to see that they have needs. And their biggest need is not physical. Their biggest need is spiritual. So save them, Lord. Save these folks that we're praying for. We pray, Lord, for Ann Arlene, that you would give her healing. We say, well, she's old, lived a good life. That's fine. But Lord, I'm asking you to raise her up. I'm asking you to work in her so that her family, what a testimony that would be to her family. Be with them. Help them to look for you in all this. Lord, I pray for the Armstead's daughter, Sherry, struggling in pain. Challenge her spiritually to trust you. God, we pray for Craig Pendle. We pray, we wish he could get in to surgery, but if you would choose, he would not need surgery. Lord, you told us several times that you don't answer prayer so much because of who we are. You answer because we keep asking. And obviously you want us to keep asking. When that man needed bread, he went to his neighbor and the neighbor gave him bread because the man kept asking. And you told us he didn't give him bread because he's his friend. Gave him bread because he was begging. He wouldn't quit. Show us how to pray like that. Whether it's for Craig or any of these others. May we pray like we expect you to do something, but you said we ought to keep praying, that we ought to pray and not faint. Thank you for those in the ministry. Thank you for Pastor Wallenbeck over in New Paris. Encourage him. Use him. Thank you for the Vaughns. Been in Brazil many years. They don't want to leave. They want to keep going, so strengthen them and encourage them as they serve you. Lord, thank you that this night we can be together. The weather's a bit rough, but thank you we can be in your house. Thank you we could celebrate that you came, that you paid for our sins, that you rose from the dead. And also thank you that you're coming back. And whether you come back in our lifetime or not, we'll still be with you. but you're coming back. Lord, thank you that we can be born again. Thank you that we can talk to you. Thank you that we can know you and have the same love that you have for us. We couldn't do that without you. Thank you that you love us like you love your own son. Bless this night. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers are going to come and do what they do.
Do we need to still keep praying for Kevin? Or should we just quit?
Keep praying for Kevin. Keep praying for Kevin. Is this for everybody? Okay. I just hate inviting everybody to a dinner if you're not invited. But she said there's a dinner after the graveside service at the VFW in North Liberty for Vern Ross. So I've done a couple of these, and I just don't invite everybody, and then they go, we're only ready for. So we'll blame it on Carol. Carol said you can come.
I don't know how many will
be there, but. North Liberty, VFW, after the graveside. Graveside's at 2. Service will be hour and a half. You're not listening. Nobody's listening to me. Short and sweet. Yeah, sure. Ready to pray? Father, we thank you. We love you. We need you. Lord, there is so much to pray for. We really need to pray, pray hard, pray long, pray constantly. Thank you that we have a record that you answer prayer. Thank you that you said if it's according to your will, it's done. Bless this night. We need your blessing, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymnals, Away in a Manger, 304. Let's all stand, shall we? Seated, Pastor.
Can you turn this lapel mic down a minute? Excuse me.
or you don't want to know. Psalm 119. Someday, you just expect it. Someday, we're going to read the whole thing. All 3,000 verses. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you'd grab that. Good to have the Awana people here on a Wednesday. They got their transportation. The roads were kind of rough. Wasn't too bad. I think we have more snow up north. I mean, South Bend. I'm not talking about Mackinac. South Bend. It was snowing like mad. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9, we're going to read that group. I don't know if yours is labeled. Mine's labeled Beth. And that's something in Italian that I'm not sure what it means. Psalm 119. Some of you are just, your head is cold, isn't it? Because you look like you're numb. Psalm 119, verse 9. We're going to read that section. What did I say? I'm looking at these names. Aleph is the first, and then the next set is Gimel. There's a place on Grape Road. Maybe it's Maine. We call that whole area Grape Road. You know what I mean? But there's a restaurant called Gagabop. And I thought, I want to go there just because of what it's called. Gagabop. It's some kind of Asian. I mean, it doesn't sound real appetizing. Where are you going to eat? Gagabop. But I just want to say I've been there. Psalm 119. When you find that, I want you to slow yourself down. You know how hard that is for me. I'm in high speed all the time. And when I read, it's a difficult discipline for me not to, you know, Psalm 119, you're there, verse 9. Wherewithal? You're going too fast. That's an interesting word. Wherewithal? If you back up to the first section, notice the starting of those verses. Blessed, they, thou, O, then I, get to verse 9, he says, wherewithal? Let me explain it this way. It means what he's about to tell us is necessary. This is not, well, praise the Lord as much as you can and get through life. No, wherewithal? You know the verse. Wherewithal, he says, let's read that verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He answers it by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So what? Go back. Wherewithal? It's necessary that we cleanse our way. Man, we live in a dirty world, don't we? I talked to my Uncle Jim this afternoon, and he has a nun friend. And he talks to her all the time. And he said, can you pray for her? And I said, well, yeah, what's up? He said, somebody keeps calling her. She's at some convent out on, I think it's an offshoot, but it's a little convent out on the north side of South Bend. And he said, someone keeps calling her. She's 87 years old, been a nun since she was 2 or whatever. Somebody keeps calling her and talking dirty to her. We live in a time that's very filthy. You got to cleanse your way. Because I don't know what kind of world you live in. Mine's pretty dirty. It's necessary. Wherewithal, it's necessary. Wherewithal shall a young man. He doesn't mean only young man. He means start when you're young. You hear me say this all the time. I wish I would have got saved younger. I was 18. That's young. But I already lived a lot of stuff that I'll never forget. I wish someone would have got to me when I was 8. That's what he's talking about. It ought to start then. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. When you look up the word cleanse, it means that God shines his light all the way through you. Some of us look good here. How are you when you're at home when none of us are around? That's why I want to peek in your windows. If you ever see me peeking in your windows, that's because I want to see how you really are. Because when we're at church, hey, we're all dressed up. We're nice, polite. We treat each other like company. But boy, when we're home, you and I need God to shine all the way through us. Not just on top of us. Not just, oh, we sound good, oh, we look good. What are we? What are we? What you say, you know this is Wednesday night. Yeah, but I saw the Awana people come in and I changed my message. God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Watch what he says, because he's going deep here. He said, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Here's what I want to give you, and then we're going to kind of read on. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Way is an interesting word. Way means the groove of a chariot wheel. If you will, it's a rut. Do you know that you and I ought to have a good rut? We ought to have a rut of cleansing our way. We ought to get in that track and wear, or if you will, beat a path. When I was a little kid, we lived on the corner, two doors away, were my cousins, the Rulies, the ones I played in the band with. Their dad was Pasquale. They lived, there was a house between us, and they lived in the third house. And we had big front yards, and we had a sidewalk that went out to the public sidewalk. And I thought, I'm not going all the way around. So I would cut. It was Mr. Rawlings. I would run right across his yard to my cousin's yard. And I didn't think anything of it. Well, pretty soon, they were back and forth. I was back and forth. You could see a path in his grass. I'll never forget. Boy, one day I'm running across the yard. Boom! He busts out the door. Stop! I go, what? He goes, quit walking across my yard. I go, why? I'm a dumb kid. I still ask why, but, you know, I've been doing it. You haven't said anything. It's a shortcut. He said, look, you have beaten a path in my yard. There ought to be a path in our life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You got to beat a path. If you want your way to be clean, you got to make a rut. You got to get a rut. You got to stay in that rut and make sure that you are in that rut, a good rut. He said, it happens because you take heed to God's word, verse 10, with my whole heart. I love that phrase, with my whole heart. See verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. You know what he means there? Sought means it has become my habit. We don't take this pull. I'm assuming you read this book every day. But you'd be surprised how many people don't. See, you're talking to Wednesday nighters. We're special. Yes, you are. But this has to be something that's constant. Has to be a habit. You make it a habit. You make yourself. You beat a path. You make it your way. That's what Christians do. He says, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander. Stray. Don't let me stray from thy commandments. Still talking about his word. Verse 11. You know this word, this verse. Thy word have I hid. I thought it was interesting. Hid means hoard. Do you have something at your house that you have too much of? If I ask my wife, here's what she's going to say. I'll just tell you. Pens. Some of you are digging for pens. We have them. They're in boxes. I'll go somewhere and I'll go, man, I really like that. If it's a restaurant or a banquet, man, I really like that pen. Can I have that? And I know my wife is ready to kick me. Because we don't need it. I want it. Thy word have I hoarded. Yeah, you need it, but you ought to want it. I want God's word in my heart. Because I know that's where the blessing is. It isn't a chore. It's something I desire. That's what scares me about someone who doesn't desire that. Remember where God lives? If God lives in you, you and I probably ought to desire his word. So he says, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Where? My heart. Deep down, not in my head. I can't quote it. I can quote it, and I live it. I experience it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's not vote. Did you sin this week? Say, so shouldn't you ask, how much did you sin this week? Okay. How much did you sin this week? Is there anything that you've done that you might think a verse could have helped you with? Look up here. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord. He's just kind of going off the path a minute and celebrating. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Okay, you haven't missed, have you, that in every verse there's a reference to God's word. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way, the rut, the beaten path, the track. I remember when I was a kid, I saw a picture somewhere. When I was a kid, back in the 60s, we had a racetrack and we would race slot cars. They were a great big car and they had a swivel T on the front with two brushes. And you'd put it on this track, and the track had that slit. Your car would fit in there, and those brushes would be powered by that metal strips. And boy, if you gunned it too much, it flew right out of that track. And some of us had those little tracks at home. I wasn't a trained person. A trains are for sissies. I didn't have a train. I had slot cars, man. That's what God is saying here. I mean, he wrote this. He used someone. He said, I've rejoiced in the way, the track, the groove, the rut of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Do you know what I know? If you buried treasure, watch this, because this will blow your mind. If you buried treasure, you would remember where you buried it. This is treasure. I'm tired. I'm busy. I'm tired. Verse 15, he said, I will meditate in thy precepts. I will meditate. Notice the I will. And have respect unto thy grooves. Not groovy. Grooves. Track, rut. God wants us in that. And then he says, verse 16, I will delight in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Can I say it again? If God's word was a treasure to you and you buried it, you wouldn't forget where you buried it. I want to pray, Lord, help us in these moments to be helped, challenged, corrected, convicted, changed. I ask this, and I ask for your help, of course. I've asked all day, but now I ask again. Fill me. Spirit of God, demonstrate you through me. Because I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When he talks about verse 9, way, and he brings it up again in verse 14, way, and he talks about it in verse 15, ways. He's talking about our lifestyle. Can I show you a verse? You got a minute? John 17. Grab the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. This is cool. This came to my mind. I was on verse 9, and I kind of read wherewithal and go, yeah, I know what that means. But do I? And then I was thinking about the Lord praying, John 17. Man, John 17 is what a chapter. We don't have time, but he says things like, verse 14, I have given them thy word. Wow. And the world hated them. Because they are not of the world. Watch this. Even as I am not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world. Verse 16. Even as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Here it is. Sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Powerful, man. Look at the last verse. We got to move. Look at the last verse. Verse 26. He said, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love, watch this, that the love wherewith. Isn't it funny what you remember? I'm remembering that Jesus used the word wherewith. The psalmist used wherewith all. Jesus says that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Isn't that powerful? Jesus isn't just saying, help them. He closes that prayer and he says, I in them. Whoa! Hey? He didn't want us to read the Bible. He wants us to drink it in. Love it. I have a problem. You may have this problem. I'm not what I should be. Don't be surprised. I mean, I guess if I did nothing else but prayed and read the Bible, I'd get close. But that probably won't happen. I don't know if you're like me, but when things are good, I take it for granted. I act like I deserve it. But when things are bad, I always kind of respond that I don't deserve this. I'm not all wrong spiritually. I'm just not as far along as I should be. But I can be. I have everything I need. Oh, if I had more time. That's not the issue. I've said before, I haven't said it in a while, but I'll say it now. You know, our problem with being spiritual boils down to one thing. Hunger. Do we want it? That's how he uses Psalm 119. That's how he uses verse 16, the word delight. You know what it means? Delight means you can't take your eyes off of it. I was driving, I forget when it was. But I don't know if you noticed this past week how cool the moon was. Anybody see the moon? Well, I'm taking pictures of it while I'm driving. You know, I should have stopped, but I'm in a hurry. So I'm rolling the window down. I'm steering. The cop isn't here, so I can say this. I'm the windows down. I'm steering. I always weave anyways because I'm busy. But I'm trying to click, you know, and Amy saw it where she was, but I showed her my pictures. It's like, it's just a big glowy ball. The psalmist said, I can't take my eyes. That's what delight means. He couldn't keep himself, if you will, from beholding or staring at God's word. That's what it's all about. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's it. Everything we need is here. You can't just make up your mind to do better. Got to be in the Bible. I try. It's not about a head full of information. God wants to change our heart. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I've made it my habit. I'm constantly with my whole heart going after you. The Bible cleanses the direction of our life. We got to quit. Three things. Number one. Make God's word a habit. I know. I know that. You're preaching to the, well, I don't know who you are. You're not the choir, but you're preaching to the choir. I got a Bible. I read a Bible. Don't tell that. I bet you got to make it a habit. It's got to be a habit. And whatever your habit is, make sure it's long enough. None of this, you know, don't hate. Don't get mad at me. I have an opinion. Let me have an opinion. My opinion is this. I'll just say it. It'll help you, right? Our daily bread does not make me spiritual. God's word makes me spiritual. Well, they have scripture. Don't fuss with me. M.R. DeHaan, who started Radio Bible Class, he's one of my heroes. But I don't think he intended that those little blurbs that they write would ever make you spiritual. But it satisfies us enough that the devil uses that to keep us from getting spiritual. I had my devotions today. God isn't after you having your devotions. He could care less. He's after you not being able to take your eyes off of him. The stories are cute. Don't get me wrong. Man, these guys come up with illustrations and stories. I got it. But I found that I do better when I just see how necessary it is, the habit, the consistency. Because according to verse 10, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Only God can keep you and I from wandering. Hey? You say, I'm going to read, you can't make me quit my devotion. I don't care. I care that you get spiritual. But do what you got to do. Just get spiritual. Make God's word a habit. Number two, hoard God's word. Hoard it. Man, dig for it. Look for it. Be so full of the Bible that it controls you. Store it up. That's what he's talking about. Thy word have I hid. He's hoarding. Everybody that has all that stuff, you ever been? When my in-laws died, my mother-in-law, her hoarding disease was dishes. She had more dishes. And my father-in-law's hoarding disease was wood and metal. I mean, he had in his basement, we're all there. His son is there. The other two brother-in-laws are there. And we're like, why would he save this? He's just storing up. He's just accumulating. Because someday you've got stuff like this, you may need it. Amen. I'm going to their house and looking. Verse Verse 11 is talking about more than memorizing. It's talking about having enough of God's word when you need it. Make it a habit. Hoard it, number three. Be highly planned. I'm trying to do H's here. I'm trying to sound like I know what I'm doing. The third H, be highly pleased with God's word. When he says in verse 16, this isn't me. This is some scholar who knows the language this was written in better than I. Here's what the scholar said. He said, verse 16, delight there carries the idea. It's very emphatic. The idea of skipping about and jumping for joy. Do you ever have a girlfriend? Maybe you have one now. You carried her picture. Hey, we'd always go around like, hey, man, and hey, I got a girlfriend. Do you got a picture of her? Like, no, I don't like looking at her. We always had a picture of our girlfriend. Right? And now I get in trouble because on my phone, when you open my phone, it isn't right now, but usually it's a picture of food. And my grandkids will go, you know, you can't put one of us on the front of your phone. I go, well, I have your pictures in my office at church. I have your, you know, when I want to say a couple things. Would you just hear this? Delight prevents forgetfulness. It's hard to forget something if you're constantly staring at it. Have you done this? What God say? Where's that verse? What? I know God said, well, wait a minute. You know what? We'll do better. If we delight God's word, it will prevent us from forgetting what he said. It's hard to forget what God said when we realize that he's the only one that can satisfy us. We don't have time. Pretend I'm drawing on the whiteboard. When you delight, you don't forget what you delighted in. When you keep delighting. And if you don't forget, it intensifies your delight. So it becomes easier to delight more. Because you can't forget it. Now that you're really, really locked in, the devil will do everything he can to keep that from happening in our life. I don't care how long you've been saved. When somebody says, I've been a Christian for 89 years, I'm not impressed. I'm sorry, I'm not impressed. I'm impressed by how spiritual you are. I'm not impressed because of your seniority of your Christianity. Some of the worst Christians I've met are older Christians who never got over that hump of learning to delight. They just get used to church things. You know, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, you know what Moses said? And Jesus said, you don't know what he said. They could quote it. They didn't know what he said. I think we quote it. We don't delight in it. This is going to be a harsh statement, but I'm going to make it. When you delight in God's word, it proves that God lives in your heart. Wherewithal, it's necessary. Wherewithal, it's absolutely necessary. Wherewithal, because we need to stay in the right way. And if we stay in the right way and we don't sin, we won't forget God. And if we're not forgetting God, we won't sin. And we'll keep His word as our delight. Man, that's so important. So you know this is Wednesday, right? I'm sorry, I thought it was church. Let's not differentiate what day of the week it is. We open that book. It's church. I know. It's almost 10 o'clock. I'll pray. Lord, I need this. I'm shouting it and spitting it and fussing it. But I've listened to it this week, and now I heard it again tonight, and I want it to be a certainty in my life. I don't want it to be something I wish for. I want it to be something wherewithal. It's a necessity. I want it to be how I live, my lifestyle, my rut. I want it to be my, I want God's word to be my delight. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. For you. Now, I don't keep track. I don't do this for my ego. God's challenged you tonight. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. You say, preacher, God has challenged me tonight through His word. Don't talk about my preaching. It's His word. Preacher, God has challenged me tonight through His word. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, there's something I need to do. Something I need to do. God has challenged me tonight. There's something I need to do. Something I need to do. Something I need to do. Father, thank you for your word. I want it to be my delight. I pray each of us would pray that, mean it, say it. We need it. We need it. We need it, Lord. Wherewithal, wherewithal, how necessary, oh God, to have a clean way. Help us with that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.